Support for this podcast comes from CDTA, The Eagle, a Times Union podcast driven by CDTA. Two weekends ago, hundreds of thousands of eyes and ears were on Iowa basketball superstar Caitlin Clark as she took a penalty shot during an Elite Eight matchup against LSU. Clark made the shot with just over 40 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. At the same time, former WNBA star and ESPN announcer Rebecca Lobo also took a shot at Albany.
Just go find something to do in Albany. I'm staying in my room and just waiting for the game.
By the way, good luck finding something to do in Albany.
I mean, we just had a snowstorm, an earthquake, and an eclipse in the span of 1 week. So who says there's nothing going on here? I'm Jessica Marshall, and you're listening to The Eagle, a Times Union podcast. I am joking, of course. But Lobo's cutting remark on national television was not taken lightly. Businesses, politicians, and denizens of New York's fair capital city lit up social media in protest of what they perceived to be a heinously unfair jab at their hometown. The owner of the War Room Tavern, which is near the MVP Arena where the games were held that weekend, went so far as to call for local bars and restaurants to cancel their ESPN subscriptions in protest. Pulitzer Prize-winning author William Kennedy even chimed in, and he told the New York Post that Lobo may have a, quote, psychological problem if she cannot find anything to do here. Give her my best wishes, he added. The reactions got so loud that Lobo actually sort of apologized for it. She took to X, quote, I've spent many fun-filled weekends in the Albany area over the years coaching my kids' AAU teams. No shade intended toward the capital city and the outstanding job they did hosting the regional, unquote. Turns out, though, that Times Union columnist Chris Churchill kind of agrees with Lobo's televised hot take on Albany. He wrote a column this week explaining his thoughts on the matter, and he joins me now on The Eagle to discuss. This came about, you know, after the NCAA tournament play was held in Albany. I believe it was the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16. Caitlin Clark and Iowa were playing. It was a big deal, drew thousands and thousands and thousands of people to downtown Albany. It was broadcast on TV around the nation. And Rebecca Lobo, who's a former WNBA player, who was calling the game, said something quite disparaging about Albany, which, you know, set off a firestorm of reaction locally, at least. And yeah. that kind of sparked what you wrote in your column this week. What was your first reaction when you heard about that comment?
I guess I was curious when people say things like that, I'm always curious what they mean exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, because depending on who you are and what your demographic is and how old you are and all those sorts of things, it can mean a lot of different things to different people. Mm-hmm. I at first assumed she meant that there was a lack of nightlife. And since, you know, I'm a parent and all that and all those things, I don't really partake in nightlife all that much anymore. So I can't really speak.
What, you're not at the club every night? What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. But then I realized with the context, and also Rebecca Lobo is 50 years old now, that she was probably talking more about like the kind of family attractions that I tend to agree with her that there isn't enough to do in Albany. You know, I've written dozens of times about the lack of a decent children's museum or, you know, the problems with the state museum. You know, you can only go out to dinner so many times. And the part of the problem that downtown Albany has when there's a major event like this is that there probably aren't enough places to go to dinner even because they're overwhelmed with the number of people who come in for an event like that. We just don't have that sort of tourism industry day in and day out. So it does make it very hard for people to find things to do. I don't think she was wrong about that.
Perhaps she could have been a little more tactful in her remarks.
Yeah, it was probably a snide comment. But, you know, if you're watching a basketball game and it's being broadcast from Tulsa or someplace like that, and somebody makes a comment like that, maybe you'd hardly even notice it, you know? But Albany tends to be a little sensitive. I mean, there's, and for good reason, there's a long history of people making snide comments about Albany, often unfairly. So I do understand that.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to a couple of years ago when one of the members of the assembly, I believe, made fun of the food options, that there was nothing to eat here, and that ignited a firestorm.
Yeah, and you can go back to Ed Koch saying there's no decent Chinese restaurants, and it's part of what comes with being a smaller city within the occasional gaze of New York City, you know?
Sure.
People from New York are going to come up here and find it lacking, and that's just the way it's always going to be.
But at the same time, in the column that you wrote this week, you said that we're really not, that Albany is really not helping itself, right?
Right. I mean, Albany over the past few decades has made a number of significant investments, public investments, usually state investments. I'm talking about Empire State Plaza, which was ultimately a $2 billion project, or the University at Albany campus, or Harriman, right? These are all major infrastructure development projects, and they were all done in a way that doesn't exactly enhance the vibrancy and livability of the city.
Mm-hmm. Now, how so? Can you explain that a little bit further?
Yeah, they're all built in a way that basically where the city is not walled off exactly, but might as well be walled off from the campus.
You can't walk there, right, from downtown. You can't just like stroll up to the campus and...
Right. And they're designed in a way where they're designed for you to drive in, park, do whatever you want to do, work usually, and then just drive away. I mean, this is particularly true of Harriman, but it's also very true of the UAlbany campus, where if you've been to other cities, I was in Tucson recently, Tucson, Arizona. The MSA there is roughly the same size as Albany, and the University of Arizona is there. And University of Arizona is built in such a way that like students walk off campus to restaurant is like just built right into the city. And there's just kind of a natural fluidity between the campus and the city. Mm-hmm. Well, UAlbany wasn't built that way. You know, UAlbany is very difficult to get to. It just isn't built into the city in quite the same way. And the same is true of Empire State Plaza. And the same is certainly true of Harriman. I mean, Harriman is probably the worst example because it was built with this massive ring road that is just basically like a moat around the campus. And it just makes it very impermeable and just encourages you to get in your car and drive away when you're done at the end of the workday.
Yeah, I've always been confused by that kind of ring around Harriman. I've never really needed to go to Harriman for anything, you know, for business or whatever on a regular basis. But like, sometimes you get kind of shunted onto that ring and you're wait a minute, how do I get off? Get me off.
I know. It's like you go around and around and around waiting for like the right place to get off.
Yeah.
These were not like minor developments in the city's history. These were massive projects that have really shaped the way that the city is. And mm-hmm. I do think that when you come from out of town and you drive around and you know, if you're in the Empire State Plaza area or other parts of the city, you do kind of wonder, like, where are all the people?
And they were all downtown during the NCAA.
Right. And it's not that, and part of the shame is that Albany does have great older neighborhoods that are very walkable and full of restaurants, but they're just sometimes a little bit hard to find. Well, and downtown Albany proper has been kind of decimated. One of the stats I wish that I'd managed to get into that column, but didn't, was that downtown Albany is like 30-35% parking lot. Hmm. You know, that doesn't exactly make for a vibrant place. You know, it's largely a place to store cars. The city just hasn't, in recent decades, the city has not been designed in ways that really add to its liveliness. And I think when people come in from out of town, that's something they notice.
Yeah. And it's not something that can be changed necessarily easily, right? You can't just snap your fingers and make it something else, right?
Right. Empire State, I mean, the neighborhood that Empire State Plaza replaced is not coming back, and Empire State Plaza is not going away. I mean, there probably are, and this may be a separate topic, but there probably are dozens of ways that you could make Empire State Plaza better. But yeah, it's not, none of them would be particularly easy.
What about the new Wadsworth Lab? The plan is to build it on the Harriman campus. And in your column, you say what you've seen of the plans is not likely to help make Albany a more happening place, shall we say.
Yeah, so you have at Harriman, you have lots and lots and lots of vacant land. And A lot of it is parking lot. A lot of it is green space. And there are people who like Harriman the way it is, people who enjoy working and walking there. But, you know, for as long as I've been around in Albany, like 15 years or so, there have been talks about redeveloping Harriman into some sort of place where there's retail and housing and making it kind of reconnecting it to the city and making it more of an urban neighborhood. Those plans tend to come and go. You know, in the meantime, there have been smallish changes that have probably made Harriman better. You know, it's the Ring Road. There are some crosswalks and stoplights now where you can actually walk to the UAlbany campus. But this Wadsworth proposal is, it's not of the scale of Empire State Plaza or UAlbany or Harriman itself, but it's a pretty big project. It's a $1.7 billion project. And it should be, at least in my opinion, an impetus for redeveloping Harriman into the neighborhood that people have talked about for all these years. Instead, the state is apparently going to go ahead with a plan that would kind of surround the project with a very dark black fence and 900 parking spots and kind of double down on Harriman as it is now. Part of the point of the column was that that would be a shame.
That's a very succinct way of putting it, I suppose.
And I mean, it's a public health lab. There are security concerns. I get that. It's not going to be a building that, you know, the public can just walk into. But on the other hand, there are high security buildings built in downtowns all the time and built into cities all the time. I don't necessarily think that being a high security building necessarily means that it has to be built with, you know, 900 parking spaces around it.
Right, a giant moat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Although a moat, you know, if it were actually water, might not be so bad.
Yeah, that might actually be kind of nice. Yeah, like a river walk kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That adds some scenery. All right. So we'll, you know, it remains to be seen. I'm sure you'll write about this a lot more as the plans develop and, you know, it becomes closer to a reality. But I want to go back to Rebecca Lobo, right? So, you know, what would you say to her, right? Like, you had her in front of you.
I probably wouldn't say anything to her. I mean, it's one person's opinion, you know? Right. Like, part of Albany becoming maybe a more mature city might just be, like, letting slights go by without getting so upset about them.
But if she actually wanted a recommendation, what would you give her?
Well, again, it goes back to, like, what is she looking to do? If she's here with kids and stuff, I don't know what I would tell her to do. Because, like I've said, there is not enough for families to do in Albany proper. If you want to go hiking in Voorheesville or up to Saratoga or, you know, the area does have some pretty great things to do. Albany itself is lacking in family, quote unquote, family-friendly things to do. It just is. I think that's kind of a fact. And it's kind of like interesting. A lot of the responses to Rebecca Lobo's comments have said, oh, what about all the great bars and restaurants you can walk to? Or, you know, isn't the Capitol wonderful to tour? And I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe people go to new cities and tour the state Capitol, but a lot of people want to do things that are a little less dry than that, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
You can read Chris Churchill's full column at timesunion.com. You can also get the latest news and features there or on any of our social channels. That's it for this week. We will be back next week with more from inside the newsroom. The Eagle is a production of the Times Union. It's produced and edited by myself, Jessica Marshall, with help from the Times Union digital team and the newsroom. Special thanks this week to Chris Churchill for his contributions to this episode. Support for this podcast comes from CDTA, The Eagle, a Times Union podcast driven by CDTA.
If you're enjoying this podcast, take advantage of all the Times Union has to offer and support our efforts to bring you award-winning journalism by becoming a Times Union subscriber today. Go to timesunion.com/subscribe.